Good morning. Well done for braving the snow and getting here this morning. This is the A team, okay? The select few who are committed enough to battle to get here. So particularly pleased to see you. I'm sure you probably remember the reading out of Matthew where Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's all very well, but how can we store up treasure in heaven? What's that all about? Is there some sort of investment trust that you can put your money in and it's invested up there somewhere? It's not really very clear. So this morning, with the help of both of our readings, I hope to be able to explain something of how we can each build treasures in heaven through what we do here in Ripley. Let's start with our Old Testament reading. Jeremiah was a prophet, someone whom God used to speak his God's message to the people. And this was during some of the worst times in the history of Israel. Jeremiah had the job of warning the people that their nation would be destroyed. Then later to pass on messages of hope after the nation had all but been destroyed, with all the most able people like Daniel and his friends transported off to Babylon. Later still, when Jerusalem was completely flattened, Jeremiah himself was deported to Egypt. And our amazing Old Testament reading today is one of the messages for God's people passed on by Jeremiah when things looked really bad for them and it felt like God had completely forgotten them. In it, God talks about making a new covenant with his people. Now, a covenant is a permanent, solemn, and binding agreement between two parties witnessed by God. Marriage is a covenant. God made a covenant with Noah, promising never to flood the earth again, and with Abraham, promising that he would father a great nation, Israel. So listen again now to the new covenant that God promised through Jeremiah. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time," declares the Lord. "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest," declares the Lord, "for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more." What an amazing message of hope, a real beacon in the darkness for those who originally heard it, and a beacon in the darkness too for very many people down the ages right up to today. "They will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." How the exiled or occupied Israelites must have cried out, "Yes, please, Lord, how wonderful." And how Jews and Christians down the ages must have cried out, "Yes, please, Lord, how wonderful." And how we cry out, "Yes, please, Lord, how wonderful that would be." This is what Jeremiah is describing, is the kingdom of God breaking through and being made real. Wow, this is really amazing. The kingdom of God breaking through in our place and in our day. And if we can somehow contribute to building the kingdom of God, then we will absolutely be storing up treasures in heaven. In fact, the alternative name for the kingdom of God, as used by Matthew throughout his gospel, is the kingdom of heaven. But where the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is concerned, we need to remember that there are two aspects. There is the kingdom of God that we join with God in building now. And there is also a not yet kingdom that we won't see until Jesus returns in great majesty at the end of time. At that time, we're told that Jesus will create the new heaven and the new earth where there will be no more pain or death or mourning or crying, as described in Revelation. Then the kingdom of God will have completely broken through and taken over. Then the prophecy that we've just heard from Jeremiah will completely be fulfilled. But that perfection won't happen until Jesus returns, because for now we all live in a fallen world. And yet, God graciously breaks through into our sinful world with hints, with insights, with experiences, with relationships of his perfect end-time kingdom. And yet, one of the most amazing and awesome things is that we get the opportunity to join in with God in building his kingdom here on earth right now. Wow. Have you noticed that God is breaking through and kingdom building right here and right now? Have you become aware that the Holy Spirit is at work right here and right now? Have you seen that people are becoming Christians right here and right now? Have you spotted that lives are being changed right here and right now? Have you noticed what's going on? And if you have noticed, or alternatively, if you haven't, and that's just fine, do you want in on God's amazing, perfect kingdom breaking through right here in Ripley? Do you want to be part of this revelation, this celebration, this jubilation? Do you want to play your part in all of this? Because I am convinced that not only is God at work in a new and exciting way right here and right now, but also that there is a part in building God's kingdom in Ripley that only you personally can play. There's a role that only you can fulfill. There's a word in season that only you can speak. Some financial support that only you can provide. Something else that you can do that nobody else will step up and do. And in the same way that there's a part that only you can play, there is a sense of fulfillment, of job satisfaction, of joy, of closeness to God and to others, of peace, of bliss even, that is reserved uniquely for you alone as you play your special part. I honestly can't begin to tell you how amazingly fortunate you are and I am. Generations looked for this time and didn't see it. Generations prayed for the kingdom of God to break through and it didn't happen. Sure, there were times when we were aware that the Holy Spirit was at work in our midst, but there were also times when, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit did not appear to be close to us, and when the season was dry and barren and hard work. Yet those of us who are part of this church today are privileged to be experiencing a time of kingdom growth, of lives transformed. Oh, we don't deserve this. This is not happening because we are special or chosen. This is happening because God is special and has chosen to break through. Not just here, but in many places, locally, nationally, internationally. Talk to John and Rachel if you want to know more. I'll give you some stories. Why now? Why us? I have absolutely no idea, except to be grateful for the generations who've begun before us here and whose prayers and witness have contributed to building the foundation here on which God is graciously choosing to build. The kingdom of God is breaking through, and you do have a unique part to play and a unique blessing to receive. How? What will all this look like? Well, let's just turn to our New Testament reading from John chapter 12. Here's what Jesus said. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life in this world will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. So here first Jesus talks about a grain of wheat fulfilling its purpose. And we can see clearly that this analogy applies to Jesus himself, who sacrificed his life that millions would gain access to God and heaven. But the picture of the grain of wheat applies to us also. We have a choice. investing in our earthly life with nicer houses and newer cars and lovelier holidays and bigger pension pots and more enjoyable activities, or investing in the kingdom of God? And Jesus says quite bluntly that if you're only invested and interested in having a happy life, you're going to miss out in the long run. This life is not the real deal. The real deal comes later when the perfect final kingdom of God takes over completely. And believe me, that will be infinitely better than what we're all experiencing now. So if you don't sacrifice now, you'll miss out in the long run. But in addition, if you only invest in this life and don't sacrifice now, you'll be missing out now. Missing out on that joy and peace and fulfillment and closeness with God that only comes when you play your kingdom part here on earth. As Jesus put it in the passage from John, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." Or to put it simply, if you follow Jesus, you need to do what he tells you to do with your money, your time, your love. And if you do that, you're going to be with Jesus, which is fantastic. And the last thing that Jesus said in that bit of the passage I've quoted was that my Father will honour the one who serves me. Just a minute. God the Father will honour us if we serve Jesus. That does not make sense. That doesn't stack up. We're talking about God the Father here, creator of heaven and earth. All-powerful, all-knowing, all-just and all-perfect, to name just a few of his attributes. How could God the Father possibly honour sinful little me or little you? And yet, through Isaiah, thousands of years ago, God told his people Israel that they were precious and honoured in his sight. That's in Isaiah 43. And Jesus says here that God will honour us. How amazing is that? Again, I don't think we experience the fullness of that promise until later in the beautiful, exciting, perfect end-time kingdom. But we do experience hints of glory when we play our own unique part in God's plan for right here and right now. And we feel his love, his approval, his encouragement. Okay, it's time to get down to nitty gritty. What exactly is God calling you to do? Well, I don't know your exact personal calling. It's hard enough to be sure about my own calling, to be honest, at some times. But God definitely wants you to lift your eyes from the here and now and to make some sacrifices to him, to do what he asks you personally to do. And what sacrifices are we talking about? Well, basically some personal combination of giving your money, giving your time, and giving your love and prayers. Your money, your time, your love and prayers. And our prayer focus this week is building the beacon. Putting up a building on the plot of land behind the church that will help us build the kingdom of God right here and right now in Ripley. For those new to the church, we have a very large church hall 300 metres away down Mosley Street. This was used for Sunday school and youth group and dances and shows and socials for many years. But the building got too expensive to maintain and was no longer suitable for our needs. So it's been shut up for well over a decade. And when the old police station behind the church closed, the saints here had a vision to buy it, knock it down and put up a new multi-purpose kingdom building on the site. Plans were drawn up for the new building when Andy Edmonds was the vicar here, and the idea was to sell the church hall and car park for housing development. But those plans were scuppered because the credit crash happened and no one wanted to buy the site and put up new houses. But we've got the old police station site, and since then the PCC has had the old police station knocked down because it was becoming unsafe. And it's had lots of talks with the town council to check that they didn't want to buy or use the church hall. Recently, members of the church community have prayerfully considered whether a new building could help us build the kingdom of God here in Ripley. And we've also been considering what sort of building would most help build the kingdom of God. It's not all finalised yet, but we are convinced that this is the right thing to do, a God thing to do. We believe we're now coming to the season where the plans will become reality, where the old hall site can be sold and redeveloped, and where the building to be called the Beacon will be built and used. The definition of a beacon is a fire or light set up in a high or prominent position as a warning, signal, or celebration. A beacon shines out in the darkness, offering safety or warning or good news. Our beacon will do all of those things, we pray. It will be a light in the darkness, a place where people can call in and find welcome and peace. It will be a place of activity and a place of prayer. Now, to build the beacon as I see it, we'll need our money. We'll need our time. It will need our love and our prayers. I'm sure the church will ask officially for all those in due course, but for now, I just want to give you a heads up and some time to get prepared and a chance to get in on the action early. We already have a building fund. You can bring your tithes in and contribute them whenever you like. A tithe in the Old Testament, which everyone had to sacrifice God, was 10% of your harvest. So see what savings you have and consider giving 10%. If you're rich and have £50,000 in the bank, you could give £5,000 to build the beacon. If you have £1,000, you could give £100. If you have £5, then you could give 50p. Or you could give 5% or 2%. Just give what you've decided to give with a cheerful heart, knowing that you're helping to build the kingdom of God right here in Ripley. Give your talent and your vision too. Give your love and your prayers too. If you in any way catch the vision of God's kingdom breaking through right here, right now, then contribute whatever you can to building the kingdom of God and expect to be blessed for your contribution, both in your life now and in the life to come. We are privileged to be living in a time when the Holy Spirit is at work. Right here, right now, breaking through into people's lives and building the kingdom of God in our midst. We are privileged to be the generation who can build the beacon in Ripley and further demonstrate the kingdom of God here. Don't miss out. Don't get so absorbed by earthly pleasures that you miss out on amazing heavenly joys. Let's be eager to build the beacon together in order to bring light in the darkness. I'd like to finish with two other passages from the Bible. The first is another prophecy, another word from God, which Jeremiah delivered. And this time Jeremiah was writing to the Israelites who'd been taken away to Babylonia and were feeling that there was no hope for them. God tells them, as he tells us too today, that there is hope and he's got a plan for us. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The second reading is a comment from St. Paul. St. Paul really did commit himself to building God's kingdom here on earth, and at times it was very hard for him and his friends. Yet this is what he said: "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." It's in 2 Corinthians. So like Paul, let us too fix our eyes on what is unseen. And that is the eternal kingdom of God that we have the privilege and also the duty to build right here and right now. And let us be confident that as we contribute our money, our time, our love and our prayers, then we really will be storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Amen.